Welcome to the Shiur Ramban, Parashas Vayetze. I wanted to start off with the first Ramban in the Sedra, where the Ramban talks about the symbolism of the famous dream that Yaakov Avinu has in the very beginning of the Sedra. Yaakov Avinu again sees this ladder, you know, it's positioned down here on earth, but the top of the ladder is up in the heavens. Malachei Elokim Olim V'yardim Bo, angels of God ascending and descending the ladder. Okay, what's up with that? What's the symbolism behind that vision? So the Ramban writes as follows. This is Pasuk Yud-Beis in the beginning of the Sedra. Hero b'chalom hanavua, Hashem showed Yaakov in this prophetic dream, ki kol anasa ba'aretz nasa al yedei ha-malachim, that everything that takes place in this world is carried out through these malachim, through these angels. However, everything ultimately is because of the divine decree. In other words, the malachim don't act independently. They are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's what it says that in the dream. The malachim are going up and down the ladder. But behold, Hashem was standing, however you understand that, on the top of the ladder. So in other words, the ladder is just the conduit to allow the malachim to go up and down and to carry out their tasks down here on earth, but ultimately everything is directed from above. Ki malach Elokim asher sholach Hashem l'istalech ba'aretz lo yasu k'tano o gedola ad shuvam l'siyatsev al adon kol ha'aretz le'mor l'fonov hisalachnu ba'aretz v'hinei yosheves b'shalva o malei acherev adon. The malachim don't do a thing down here on this earth of their own volition, not big, not small, unless they first report back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's this imagery of the malachim going up and down the ladder. In other words, so to speak, if one could envision, you know, Shamayim as being a series of offices, you know, before anyone does anything, they all run down the hall to the CEO's office just to check in and get his approval before anything happens. So the malachim are going up and down, communing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and just checking in, you know, before they make their next move. And as the Ramban puts it, they stand before Hashem and they say, we have scouted out the land, and the land is either peaceful, or conversely, the land is filled with the sword and with blood. In other words, they report back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's going on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hu yitzave aleim lo shuv, lo redes ba'aretz v'lasos tvoro. And Hashem then, taking into account the information that they're reporting back, which again obviously is meant in a metaphoric fashion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the malachim to tell him anything, but so to speak, once they convey this information to Hashem Yisbarach, He sends them down again with specific instructions as to how to carry things out. So the vision is a vision of the way the world works, says the Ramban. Behero kihu yisbarach nitzav al hasulam. So why is this relevant for Yaakov? Again, it's an interesting vision, an interesting insight as to how the world works, but why should Yaakov care? What has got to do with him specifically? So he shows Yaakov, says the Ramban, that Hashem, as we said before, is positioned at the top of the ladder. U'mavticho liYaakov b'havtocha gedola. And Hashem is promising a great promise to Yaakov. Lohodia shehu lo yehiye b'yad ha-malachim. The message to Yaakov Avinu is that all of this stuff with the malachim and the angels, that's for everybody else. That's not for you. That's not the way your reality functions. Abo yihye chelek Hashem v'yihye imo tamid. Hashem will be with Yaakov directly and will be with him at all times. In other words, with the case of Yaakov Avinu, there's no need for these intermediaries of malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will watch over Yaakov Avinu directly. K'moshe ne'emar, right? As the pasuk says, in the dream, Hashem speaks to Yaakov in the dream, and he says, V'hine onochi imach, behold, I will be with you, u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech, and I will guard over you everywhere you go. So that's the pasuk which appears in the beginning of the Sedra. This Perichov Ches Pasuk Tesvav, right? Now, again, when you read that Pasuk in a vacuum, what the Pasuk just means is a kind of general reassurance that Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, I'll be with you, I'll watch over you. But the way the Ramban is interpreting it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yaakov Avinu, you are subject to a unique and special hashgacha. You have a certain type of providence watching over you that the average person does not have. The average person is taken care of through this, we'll call it, celestial bureaucracy, where there are malachim going up and down the ladder, reporting in, reporting out. That's not you. You, Yaakov Avinu, Anochi Imach, I myself will be with you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yaakov Avinu. You get to you see this bureaucracy, but you get to bypass this bureaucracy. You're like the guy who knows the CEO and comes into the building and says, bring me in. Oh, Mr. So and so. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, you go past all the secretaries, past all the. You're right. You know, past all the alarm systems. You know, they bring you in through the back. You know, VIP treatment. So that's Yaakov Avinu's being shown as well. Here's the bureaucracy. You don't have to deal with that. You're going to go straight to the top.
I'm not going to ask that, even though we don't have a menorah like our forefathers. But is Yaakov Avinu really, especially because he was the father of the Shvatim, a symbol for the whole of Klal Yisrael?
Oh, okay. So very, very good. So hold that thought for a second. Ki ma'alos, though, continues the Ramban, the level of Yaakov Avinu is gedola mishar hatzadikim. Yaakov Avinu is on a higher level than even other tzadikim. What does it say regarding other tzadikim? So says the Ramban, shnemar bohem, regarding other tzadikim, it says, ki ma'alochav yitzavilach lishmarcha b'chol drachecha, pasuk from Tehillim, that, you know, we say every Shabbos and many other occasions as well, God will command his malachim to watch over you wherever you go. So on the surface, that's a beautiful bracha. Ki malachim yisavalach lishmarcha b'chol rochecha. Wherever you go, the malachim of Hashem are watching over you. Says the Ramban, it's a bracha, but it's not the ultimate bracha. The ultimate bracha is not ki malachav yitzavilach. It's not that the malachim are going to be watching over you. The ultimate bracha is v'hineh anochi imach, I Hashem am going to be with you. So that not every tzaddik, not even every tzaddik, you know, is merits. That's a tzaddik of the level of Yaakov Avinu, who gets to bypass the malachim and has direct providence, direct hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. You know, and perhaps it's symbolic of a special relationship that the nation has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even within the nation of Klal Yisrael, as you see from here, you know, it's unique to very, very great tzaddikim, like of the level of Yaakov Avinu. Even other tzaddikim, in the end of the day, whatever protection they have, it's angelic protection, which is great. You know, halavai, we should have that, but it still comes a little bit short of the direct protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this Ramban ties in with another Ramban back in Parshas Vayera, where the Ramban there speaks about the special providence that Avram Avinu has. Right before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to destroy stone, so Hashem says in Perek Yudches Pasuk Yutes, Ki Yedativ, Hashem says regarding Avram Avinu, because I know him, L'man Asher Yisav Esbon Beis Ha'achra V'Shamu Derech Hashem Basa Stoko Mishpat. I know that Avram Avinu is going to instruct his household to follow in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do the right thing. So what's Ki Yedativ? I know Avram Avinu. The simple pshat is, I'm familiar with Yaakov Avinu. I know the way he operates. But the Ramban has a different and very, very important interpretation over here. The Ramban writes, Yirmoz, this word Yedativ, I know Avram Avinu is teaching us, Ki yediyas Hashem shehi hashgachaso ba'olam hashafel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu exerts his providence in this lower world, hulishma aklalim. It's a general kind of providence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends to the world down here. And the truth is, when it comes to individuals, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't directly intercede in the goings on of their lives. Again, this is the position of the Ramban. The Baal Shem Tov later on in history very, very much argued with this. Baal Shem Tov said HaKadosh Baruch Hu was micromanaging every single event that takes place in life, but the Ramban here disagrees. The Ramban says very often HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the world to run, so to speak, on automatic pilot, and he doesn't necessarily get involved with every single thing that happens to every single individual. He certainly could. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to do that. He's not restricted from doing that. He certainly is aware of everything that's going on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses sometimes to just let the world run, you know, on autopilot. Aval b'chassidov. But when it comes to God's chassidim, to those who are really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yosume lov libo lodaso so b'prat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays special attention to those who are close to him, to interact with them on a micro level, on a very, very detailed, specific level. Liyos shmiroso dovko botamid. And God's shmira, his watching over, is attached to them at all times. Lotzipareid hayidiyo v'hazdechiro mimenu klau. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never stops actively remembering and being involved in that tzaddik's life. Uval mizeh psukim rabim can exhibit. An example of this is the pasuk, Hine ein Hashem el yireyav. Again, we also say Shabbos morning, in psukim is the emra. God's eye is upon those who fear him. Right? So, again, according to the Ramban, that doesn't just mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching out for the world in general. Ein Hashem, the special hashgacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, is el yireyav, is focused on those who have special fear of him. So in other words, the Ramban over here in Vayera develops the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different levels of Hashgach HaPratis. He has different levels of divine providence for different people, and the greater a person is, the more divine providence that person merits to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Well, Lachar, that's what you see from this Ramban. In other words, the Ramban there in Vayera is saying that if a person's not particularly righteous, Kodesh Baruch Hu has Hashkacha Klolis, he lets the world run, and the person is impacted upon, you know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily, you know, micromanage that person's life, right? He lets nature take its course. With his tzaddikim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a higher level of Hashkacha. What the Ramban over there seems to be saying, Hashkacha Pratis, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved directly in the lives of the tzaddikim. You add that on to what the Ramban is saying here in Vayetzeh, the Ramban is saying that even within the tzaddikim, there are different levels of Hashkacha Pratis. So in other words, Yaakov Avinu is still subject to a different level of Hashkacha Pratis than the quote-unquote average tzaddik. The average tzaddik is getting Hashkacha Pratis, but it's filtered through the Malachim. So again, whatever that means practically, I'm not sure, but it's less direct. Ki Malachov Yitzav Eloch. And Yaakov Avinu is Hinei Anochi Imach. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him in a direct sense. Again, I don't know the details of how that pans out, but there's a greater level of Hashkacha for tzaddikim and greater levels of Hashkacha within the ranks of the tzaddikim as well. That's this idea that the Ramban over here is developing.
Yaakov, the only Jewish guy in the whole world at that time?
Well, you had Yitzchak and Rivka, right?
They died.
No, but at this point they're still alive, right? At this point they're still alive. Even Esav, the Gemara says Esav was Yisrael Mumer. Esav was Jewish, but just not somebody. He was off the derech, as they'd say today, right? And he was Yisrael Mumer. He wasn't doing the right thing, but he was considered to be Jewish, you know, al pi din. What was I going to say? So that's you put this Ramban and Vayetzeh together with the Ramban. in Vayera, and you get this composite picture of the idea that Hashgacha, you know, varies depending on the recipient of the Hashgacha.
So the question, there's 6 million Jews, there was plenty of
right. So, look, in the end of the day, you know, we don't know answers. You know, that's, I think, a cardinal understanding. You know, again, not to talk about any specific case, but there, it's not impossible to reconcile the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being directly involved in the lives of tzaddikim and still having those tzaddikim suffer. Meaning, we do have, you know, concepts of tzaddikim davka suffering in order to give them greater reward in the next world, you know, or to be a kapara for Klal Yisrael in certain ways. We have those ideas. Which of those ideas is applicable in any given situation? I certainly don't know. Maybe somebody knows, but I certainly don't know. What the Ramban definitely is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making direct decisions about the tzaddikim. You know, whereas with people who are not such great tzaddikim, there's this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets nature take its course in many circumstances. What about? Right, so we don't have to jump forward to the Holocaust. Just Yaakov Avinu himself, right? In other words, Yaakov Avinu is told v'ushmaticha b'chol asher teileich, and yet he has many tzaras. So again, I don't know what the exact answer is, but it could be that what you see from here is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has direct hashgacha over Yaakov, and that he's going to guard him directly anywhere he goes, is not synonymous with saying, and everything's going to be great. In other words, I'm watching over you, I'm doing what's right for you.
Is that true with everybody?
I think so. I think that's what you take away from here. What's that? What's that? Yeah.
Maybe that's why says later on, he wasn't sure that
right.
Still had God's,
right, no, it could be. Yeah, but I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Like that,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it saying that we will have these, we're looking it up already. We have tests, and we fail sometimes, and
right. So again, I think what you may be able to take away from here. What do you mean? Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech. I'll watch over you wherever you go. So he has many tzaras wherever he goes. You know. So again, I think what you take away is ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech doesn't mean, you know, and I'm going to make life just a bowl of cherries wherever you go. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be intimately involved in all of the events in your life. But some of those events may be very trying. In other words, you know, I'm not promising that everything is going to be wonderful, but I'm promising that I'll be overseeing in a very direct fashion everything that happens to you. Yeah.
That's like when you say, when you pray Hashem, and then a person dies, you say, well, it's not that Hashem didn't hear your prayer, but the answer was no.
Right, right. He was very involved, and, you know, for whatever reason, he decided that, you know, it was not the right thing for this person to live. So, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was intimately involved in Yaakov Avinu's life, and, you know, but that doesn't mean that everything is going to be just wonderful. You know, the two things don't go hand in hand, which I think is an important point. In other words, the heightened level of Hashgacha with Tzaddikim doesn't necessarily mean everything is going to be better for tzaddikim. And if anything, we find in Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktekim tzaddikim kechut ha-sayro, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's paying special attention to the tzaddikim, sometimes holds the tzaddikim to a higher level. Maybe a person could argue, I'd rather you not look over my shoulder like that. You know, I'd rather you not watch me so closely, because once you're watching me so closely, you know, that's when I get into trouble.
According to the Rambam, why Yom Kippur Malucham next week is Gafas? Why is that Gafas to do?
Right, so I guess it's still not covered. I don't know what it would mean to send HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Esav, right? In other words, but I guess it's still more covered to send out Malachim But in other words, in terms of what's happening in Yaakov Avinu's life, there, it's not going through Malachim. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over him directly, says the Ramban. So that's the Ramban's first pshat in the ladder, right? The ladder is a view into the celestial bureaucracy, but a reminder to Yaakov Avinu that he gets to jump to the head of the line and he doesn't have to deal with all the celestial bureaucracy. But then he writes, Valdas, Rabbi Eliezer Agado, if you look in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is one of the oldest midrashim that we have, so there we're told that Hoysa Zos Hamara Ke'inian Brisbane Habsarim Lavrom, a totally different interpretation of the ladder. The ladder is a vision that's very similar to the Bris Ben Absarim, the covenant between the parts that was shown to Avram Avinu. Ki hero mamshelis arba malchios v'malosim v'ridosom. What the ladder was all about was Yaakov Avinu being told about the four kingdoms that would subjugate the Jewish people, how they would rise and how they would fall. V'zeh tam malachei Elokim. That's the reference to the angels of God going up and down the ladder. As we find in Sefer Daniel, that each of the nations has a malach that represents it. So the malachim that are going up and down are the angelic representatives of the various nations that are climbing the ladder and then descending the ladder. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was promising him through this vision that Hashem will be with him, or Yaakov Avinu, or the Jewish people really, whatever they go through, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will watch over the Jewish people and will save them from the from all of these kingdoms. So there in Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, Perek Lamed Hei, it says, Herala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Arba Malchius Moshlon Va'avdon. Hashem showed Yaakov Avinu the four kingdoms, how they would reign and how they would be destroyed. The first malach who goes up is the malach of Bavel, who goes up 70 rungs and then goes down. And then the Malach representing Persia goes up 52 steps and goes down. That's the number of years that the Persian Empire lasted. And the Malach representing Greece goes up 180 rungs and then comes down. And finally, the Malach representing Rome goes up, and he goes up, and he keeps going up, and he keeps going up, and he keeps going up. Amar la Yaakov, Achel Sha'ol to Rod. Yaakov Avinu gets a little bit nervous. He says, when's it coming down already? The elevator just keeps going up and up and up and up and up. What's the top floor? Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Tagbiya Kanesher. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu quotes a pasuk in Ovadia, in next week's Haftarah. Don't worry, even if the nation of Edom is raised up like an eagle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring them down and cast them down eventually. So in other words, the message of the malachim going up and going down is, yes, terrible things are going to befall the Jewish people, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with them, notwithstanding all of these terrible things which are going to happen. That sort of begs the question, of course, if this is really just a repeat of that which was shown to Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Habsarim. By the way, the Bris Ben Absarim, on the simple level of the Bris Ben Absarim, was not about the four Malchus. The simple reading of Chumash is the Bris Ben Absarim is Avraham Avinu being told about the Jews going down to Mitzrayim, about the Egyptian exile. It's Al Pi Medrash, which the Ramban brings back in Parashas Lech Lecha, that the Bris Ben Absarim is all about not only Mitzrayim, but about the four other kingdoms that are going to come afterwards and subjugate the Jewish people and destroy them. So, the question is, okay, so that was already shown to Avraham Avinu. Why is it necessary to reveal this to Yaakov Avinu as well? Yaakov should just say, yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, thanks. I got the memo. I know that already from your interaction with Avraham Avinu. So this the Ramban doesn't address. The Ramban doesn't say why it's necessary to reiterate the same message that was given to Avraham Avinu. Perhaps we can suggest that the message to Yaakov Avinu is that you are indeed the heir to the legacy of Avraham Avinu. Right? In other words, in a certain level, that may not be obvious to Yaakov. After all, Esav was the Bechor, he was the firstborn, he was supposed to get the Bechorah, he was supposed to get the Brachos. Yaakov Avinu ended up getting both of those things from Esav, but, you know, one could argue that the manner in which he got them maybe was illegitimate. So Yaakov Avinu himself may have thought, who knows, you know, whether I'm really the heir to the legacy of Avraham Avinu. Comes the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, you are the heir to Avraham Avinu's legacy and all the parts of Avraham Avinu's legacy. You're the heir to the good things, and guess what? There's a lot of tzaras that comes along with the legacy of Avraham Avinu as well. You know, your children are going to go through these four malchus. They're going to go through these difficult times, you know, as being Jewish people. So you got it all, Yaakov Avinu. You got the good, you got the bad, you know, you got the whole thing. But the message, the ultimate message to Yaakov Avinu is, you are the legitimate heir. You know, everything that you did in taking the Bechara, taking the Brachas, is real. You know, it worked. You know, you are, and you get everything, you know, the good and the bad all together, the way that it was promised to Avraham Avinu. Maybe that's the message, you know, according to the Ramban. Well, father at the very end says, Yitzen Lachos Birkas Avraham. Right? Shaila is, you know, I guess that, you know, it's still important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come and affirm the fact that, you know, that actually worked, you know, that you were actually given the bracha in its fullest sense. Okay, we'll pick up after Meir Bezos Hashem. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shiur Ramban and Parshas Vayetze. One of the elements of the parasha that at first glance is somewhat disturbing is some of the interaction that takes place between Yaakov Avinu and his wives, Leah and Rachel. So, you know, one statement that's particularly jarring is in Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayara Hashem kisnua Leah, vayiftach es rachma. Hashem saw that Leah was hated by Yaakov Avinu, and as a result, he gave her the bracha of having children before Rachel Imenu was able to have children. Snua is a very, very strong word. You know, the notion that Yaakov Avinu, you know, hated his wife Leah is a very, very difficult term to stomach. Moreover, when we get a little bit further in the Psukim, Rachel sees that her sister Leah is having child after child. She goes to Yaakov Avinu and she says, give me kids, otherwise I'm going to die. And Yaakov, instead of being sympathetic, snaps back seemingly at Rachel. And again, in Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, Esther, Asachas Elokim Anochi Asher Mona Aminech Bibraten. What do you think, I'm God? You know, God denied you kids. You think I can give you kids? Well, what are you bothering me? Again, you know, perhaps we can picture other husbands and wives having these kinds of conversations. But it's a little bit jarring when we think about, you know, our avos and imos having these kinds of conversations, which really seem to be very unsympathetic. I mean, Yaakov hates Leah, according to the Psukim. Yaakov, you know, speaks to Rachel in a very dismissive kind of way. I mean, you know, your wife is barren. She's not able to have children. You know, a little sympathy, maybe, you know. There seems to be an utter lack of sympathy in his responses to her. So the Ramban, one of the things that's striking about the Ramban is the Ramban very often gives us a very acute psychological insight into what all of the characters in Chumash are thinking, you know, behind the scenes. And his psychological insights are very, very helpful in just helping us understand on a deeper level what's going on over here, you know, how to relate to the Avos and the Imos HaKadoshim, you know, who were speaking in ways that on the surface just seemed to be very jarring and very, very difficult to stomach. So let's start with the idea that Leah is hated. You know, so Perek Choftes, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Leah is hated. Hinei Leah Ramsa Be'achosa Gam B'Yakov. I mean, you have to remember something. Leah tricked Yaakov. Leah, you know, the Pashut of Pshat is that, you know, she, you know, maybe even somehow tricked her sister as well. Again, Chazal tell us that Leah and Rachel were in cahoots together, you know, that Leah was, you know, was the given the simonim by Rachel, and that they were, you know, they were working together. But the simple reading of the Pesukim may very much imply Rachel was all ready to marry Yaakov, and Lavan basically tapped her on the shoulder one morning and said, guess what? Not you. You know, you go away. We're going to put Leah there instead. And, you know, Leah consents to basically do something which is going to undermine her sister. It's certainly the case that she tricks Yaakov. There's no question about that. And Kim Nomar, so even if you want to say, what do you want from Leah? She was forced into it. Her father forcibly took Leah and shoved her into, you know, shoved her under the chuppah, put on a nice, you know, thick veil so that nobody knew who she was, and she's just being acted upon. Even if you say that, what's that? I guess you see they had really thick veils. I mean, that's what you see from there. What's that? Yeah, chesidus of veil. Forget about it, right? But still, hayolala hagido lirimoski hileya. All right, but at some point she should have said something to Yaakov. The yichud rumchach, you know, or you know, make some kind of you know, some kind of motion like, "Hi, I'm Leah." You know, like what would have taken just to say that to Yaakov Avinu at some point? Yeah, right. So on some level, it's what goes around comes around. But okay, but it's still a taina to Leah. Even if the whole night, you know, she was pretending to be Leah. And you know, obviously, she was pretending the whole night because it was only in the morning that Yaakov realized that he had been with Leah the entire night. She must have done a very, very good job, you know, pretending. So says the Ramban. V'lochein sena'a Yaakov. So is it any wonder that Yaakov could be described as hating Leah? The woman tricked him. You know, you say, okay, it's not healthy to marry a woman whom you dislike, let alone hate. But he didn't think he was marrying Leah. I mean, as far as he was concerned, he was marrying Rachel. And he wakes up in the morning and realizes that he's been the victim of a subterfuge. Yeah, it's not so hard. On a very, very simple level, not so hard to understand that Yaakov Avinu is not feeling all lovey-dovey towards Leah after that. And the term that she's snua, that she's hated, is not so hard to imagine, given the fact that she really acted in a way that was very inappropriate on the surface, you know, towards Yaakov Avinu. What's that? However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Leah's intentions were L'shem Shamayim, meaning she wanted to be married to the Tzadik Yaakov Avinu, and despite the fact that Yaakov hated her because of what she had done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on her and he gave her the bracha of having children first. V'chach Amru B'Breishis Rabbah. This idea that Yaakov Avinu was incredibly upset at Leah for what she had done is borne out by a fascinating medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Ayin Aleph Beis, where the medrash says, "Kivon shira Yaakov maisim shiramsa Leah ba'achosa." When Yaakov saw what Leah had done, the way the medrash presents it is how had Leah had tricked her sister. Again, you know, the Medrash seems to understand that Rachel was also a victim over here, right? But Yaakov was certainly a victim. Nosan daito legarsha. Yaakov wanted to divorce Leah. What's going on over here? You know, you trick me into getting married to you? Like, what? You know, forget about it. You know, we're going to the bezda the next day. We're going to get divorced. I mean, what kind of thing is this? Kivan shepakta HaKadosh Baruch Hu bebanim. But then Leah got pregnant. Apparently, she got pregnant right away. So Yaakov Avinu said, Le'iman shel elu ani megaresh. I'm going to divorce this woman who's now going to be the mother of my children. I can't do it. V'zeh tam vayar Elokim. So that's what the pasuk says, vayar Elokim ki snua Leah, vayiftach es rachma. Hashem saw that Leah was hated, meaning she was hated to the point that Yaakov Avinu was ready to divorce her. How can you do that kind of thing? What's up with that? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I want Leah to remain married to Yaakov. And how is that going to work? Vayiftach es rachma. So he gets Leah pregnant. Once Leah is pregnant, Yaakov Avinu says, okay, I'm not going to divorce her when she's pregnant with my child. Ki chomal olehel shelo yazvenu. Hashem had rachmanus on Leah that Yaakov shouldn't abandon her. So that's again an incredible psychological insight. We don't often think about the fact that Yaakov was resentful towards Leah for everything that had happened. He was resentful towards Laban, but you know, Leah played a role in all of this as well, and that justifies the term snua. She was hated, and again, according to the matter, she was ready to divorce her and would have divorced her had she not gotten pregnant at that point.
So we can understand the ill feelings, even the hatred, at the very beginning, the first night, but then it seems that the hatred continued. Why was Shimon named? Because Leah said, Shimon Hashem ki snua anokli. Hashem heard that I was still hated. So a year plus after the birth of Reuben, so 2-some-odd years after the wedding, is it appropriate to hold on to hatred for that length of time?
Right. So I don't, you know, you can argue that it's not appropriate, but it's natural. Meaning, for, you know, Yaakov Avinu, the way the Ramban the way the Ramban portrays Yaakov Avinu, again according to this, we'll see. He gives another pshat in a moment, but according to the Ramban, the way he portrays Yaakov Avinu is she really did something horrific. I should divorce her. But as sometimes people say today, we're just staying together because of the kids, right?
So is that the right thing?
So maybe, yeah. I mean, in other words, but in other words, if we're just staying together because of the kids, you know, the resentment is still there. In other words, even after the birth of Reuven, and even after the birth of Shimon, right? And that's what Leah is reflecting in her statement. Vayar Hashem ki snua anochi. Hashem saw that I was hated, and you know, she gave me Shimon. And we understand now, you know, in the psukim, you wonder why does the addition of kids, you know, make Leah less likely to be hated? You know, where did this hatred come from? Again, it seems like an overreaction. But says Ramban, no, it's not an overreaction. Leah did something that arguably is unforgivable to Yaakov. I mean, again, you know, sometimes husbands and wives get, you know, signals crossed that, you know, who was supposed to do this, who was supposed to do that. You pretended you were someone else and got into bed with me? I mean, that's a big deal, you know? And Yaakov Avinu says, you know, I'm not sure I can really forgive that. And the only way that his anger dissipates with time is as the family continues to grow. So at a certain point, you know, the fact that, okay, look, Lamaisa, you know, we're mother and father to these children, we'll get past our resentment, kicks in. But you see, it takes at least 2 children, you know, years before that resentment dissipates. And again, if we can imagine ourselves in Yaakov Avinu's, you know, position, we can appreciate it. I mean, again, you know, it's easy to sit here and say, well, you should get over it, you know. But she did it. She did something very, very, you know, in a different context, you know, to pretend that you're somebody else and substitute yourself for someone under the chuppah. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, it's not to be minimized. Yeah.
At some point, after, I don't remember which kid, but Leah said, now my husband will truly love me. The thing is, he didn't know if there was the ma'isa that she did was a l'shem shamayim, the ma'isa. It could be that he had trouble realizing it. But when she had all these successive children,
right,
that she saw that the Shvatim were going to come from her, most of the Shvatim were going to come from her, a very large percentage, then he saw that maybe what she did was the Shem Shemayim.
Right, that could be. In other words, after the kids start coming left and right, you know, so then he has a greater appreciation
so
of what she did.
Hating her kind of like
it melted a little bit, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just wondering how Rambam is handling that. That Leah goes to Rachel, Rachel wants to enjoy him. You took my husband. It seems like totally. How could she say that to Rachel? And Rachel gave her the Siman, and she triggered. How could. Have you learned that this was just. She tripped Yaakov, and that's what Yaakov felt about it.
Well,
and Rachel gave it to him, and she goes there and says, you tricked me? And you took my husband? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. No, so the truth is, according to the Ramban, where the Ramban stresses the fact that Leah not only betrayed Yaakov, she betrayed Rachel, right, again, which... Again, is not in accordance with Chazal's Medrash and the Gemara Megillah that Rachel gave the Simonim to Leah. But in other words, you know, Leah pushed Rachel out of the way, essentially, you know, or at least didn't protest when her father pushed Rachel out of the way. So then that conversation later on actually is even easier to understand on the Pashto level. Kach teches ishi, you know, you took my husband away from me.
Okay. A normal person would not say that. He was engaged to Rachel, and he was supposed to marry her, and she came with trickery, and she said, "You took my husband." But it's just the opposite. I mean, it doesn't really sound.
I hear. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Yeah.
But I can't understand how we all basically come from Leah. Like, why would Hashem do that?
Right, so you should know, you know, in general, in Yahadus, there's this very interesting thing where the greatest people in Klal Yisrael seem to come from very strange relationships, you know. In a couple of weeks we'll read about Yehuda and Tamar, you know, David HaMelech is descended from Moav, ultimately. You know, there are a lot of weird relationships that end up producing some of the greatest people in Klal Yisrael. Again, I'm not comparing this relationship to those relationships, but you know, you have to. Yeah, I don't have an answer off the top of my head, but you have to try to figure. You know, it's this phenomena that you see. You know, perhaps that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a certain degree of humility, that, you know, we realize looking back that not everything was, you know, the way we would imagine it. You know, perhaps that's part of the idea behind it.
How come Laya didn't have the Yaakov? Did she see that he had that? Why she?
So she was trying to get into his good graces. You know, that's sometimes the psychology also. He hates me, but I love him. I wanna make him love me.
We have a similar question today. Why did so much protection towards Klal Yisrael come from such an unlikely person?
That I don't know. So he writes, that's his first pshat. Second pshat, he quotes the Radak, Kishtayim Noshim Shor Achas Ahuva Me'od Tikore Hashniya Snua Kenegda. Okay, so the second pshat is much easier to stomach. You know, Snua, hated, doesn't really mean hated. It means, relatively speaking, not loved as much. Right, it takes kind of the oomph out of it. You know, Leah was not loved as much as Rachel, so relatively speaking, she was the less loved wife, which the Torah expresses by saying, you know, I'm snua. Snua is an exaggeration according to this understanding. It doesn't really mean hated. It means, yeah, okay, relatively speaking. You know, of course, he loved both of them, but he loved, you know, Rachel more. And that goes with the interpretation of Shimon as well. Vayashem ki snua anochi, meaning I was not as loved as Rachel. Again, you know, it takes a little bit of the oomph out of the term.
The second wife was always called the Tzara.
Right, you know, the Tzara, you know, the difficult one, right. So you have this also beginning Parshas Kisei, right. Ha'achas Ahuva, Ha'achas Snua, the two wives, one is beloved, one is hated, you know, but hated in that context also could just mean, you know, not loved as much as the first wife, right? So that's the Ramban says, that's what it means over here. What's that? It doesn't say. So I guess because it was less of an issue, you know, because Rachel was so incredibly loved, you know, Leah felt not as loved. You know, with Bilhah and Zilpah, I guess there wasn't so much of an expectation that they would be loved on that level.
Leah was the first one, you might say.
Yeah, but Im Kol Zeh, he had loved, you know, he thought he was getting Rachel. He was, you know, he thought that from the very beginning he had loved Rachel more than Leah. That's what's past success.
Well, Leah was afraid she would go
to Esau, right.
Right.
So that's the discussion of this term snua. So let's move on a little bit. So Yaakov, Rachel goes to Yaakov and says, give me kids? And Yaakov snaps back and says, what do you think I am, God? And again, we're very uncomfortable with the whole tone of the whole conversation on both ends. You know, give me kids. You know, what do you mean, give me kids? But on the other hand, what do you mean, you think I'm God? You know, like, you know, it doesn't necessarily cast the avos in the greatest light. So the Ramban writes, well, first of all, what does it mean when Rachel goes to Yaakov and she says, Havali Bonim, you know, give me kids. So Amram Afarshim, so both Rashi and the Ibn Ezra interpret it to mean, Shetispaleu Olai, daven for me. Not give me kids, like, you know, I don't know, snap your fingers and give me kids. I understand you can't do that. But why don't you daven for me? So the truth is, that's a pretty good question that she's, you know, pretty good request that she's asking Yaakov Avinu, daven for me. I mean, after all, and this Rashi points out as well, after all, Yitzchak daven for Rivka, right? But he's probably Yitzchak lenochach ishto, right? So if Yitzchak daven for Rivka, Yaakov should daven for Rachel. So if that's the request, probably bonim, so what's Yaakov's response? What do you think I am, God? Okay, you're not God, but you can daven. It's all can tell him, you know, that much you can say. Right, so says the Ramban, Vani Tame, I have a hard time with this understanding of Rachel's question. In Cain, Lama Chara Apo, for Lama Ama Atachas Elokim Anochi. If the request of Rachel to Yaakov was just daven for me, so why did Yaakov get so upset? V'shomel Tzadikim Hashem. Hashem listens to Tzadikim. Umasha Amar. And that which Yaakov Avinu says, according to Rashi, he's quoting now Rashi. You know, Rashi says that Rachel said to Yaakov, you know, your father davened for your mother. So according to Rashi, Yaakov says back, Abba lo hayu lo banim. You know why my father davened for my mother? Because not only did Rivka not have children, Yitzchak didn't have children. So that's why you davened. Ani yesh li banim. I have kids already. Right? Mimech mona, mimeni lo mona. Right, the pasuk says, "Asher mona minech pribotem." Yaakov says to Rachel, "God prevented you from having kids. It's your problem. It's not my problem. I have kids. It's your problem that you don't have kids." And again, you read this interpretation, which is in Rashi, and you say, "I don't know that Rashi made the avos sound much better." You know, I mean, if a contemporary husband and wife were in this kind of situation and they went for therapy, you know, the therapist would probably, you know, hit the husband over the head. What do you mean? You know, it's, you know, oh, it's your problem that you're not having kids. No, it's our problem that you're not having kids. What do you mean it's only your problem? And it's the Ramban. V'chiyat tzadikim einon mispalulim ba'aracherim. What do you mean? So good. So it's not Yaakov Avinu's problem in a direct sense. He does have kids. So a tzaddik never davened for somebody else. I mean, you have all these stories of tzaddik and davening for barren women who are not related to them. So it should be worse because the barren woman in question is my wife. In that case, I shouldn't daven for her. Vinei Eliyahu ve'Elisha yisfalu be'ad noshim nachrios. Eliyahu and Elisha davened for women who were not their wives, that they should have children.
And he saw that Rivka was able to do it for herself. Mm-hmm. Great enough to be spalled for herself.
Maybe, okay. The Nira Shabishfil Zetavsu Rabu Seinu. Says the Ramban, if that is indeed the Pshat, so Chazal then are being critical of Yaakov for answering in such a way. You're right, you know, it's wrong to answer in such a way. the Medrash says the Bereishis Rabba, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Onin Es HaMe'ikos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu, that's how you answer a woman in distress. Chayecha Shebonecha Osidin Lamod Lifnei Bina. The day is going to come where a descendant of Rachel Imenu is going to lord over the rest of the children. Yosef HaTzadik, you know, that's how you, that's how you respond to somebody who's in distress. So that's one mahalach in the Ramban, one approach in the Ramban. The truth is, Rachel asked appropriately, please daven for me. And Yaakov Avinu, for some reason that we can't really fathom, really reacted inappropriately, says the Ramban, according to this interpretation. Oh, so we'll see that. Did Rachel do daven for herself? Valderech Hapshat, Amar Rachel Yaakov, Shi'itein labonim, uve'emes da'ito le'mor shi'ispalel aleho. Perhaps the way you can answer Yaakov Avinu's behavior is as follows, says the Ramban. Rachel Taka goes to Yaakov and says, please daven for me. Avo shi'ispalel aleho shi'itein labonim akoponim. But not only do I want you to daven for me, I want you to knock yourself out davening for me until I actually get kids. Vim ayin, and if I don't have kids, shi'tamis asma b'tsar. And if your davening doesn't work, I'm going to kill myself. That's the pasuk, right? Vim ayin mesa anochi. If the kids don't come, I'm going to die. I'm going to kill myself. If your davening is not effective, I'm going to kill myself. So divrei shloka hogim b'kinasa. So says the Ramban, the first part of what Rachel said, daven for me, was appropriate. The second part of what she said, and if not, I'm going to kill myself, that was very inappropriate. What did she think? V'chashua ki bi'avaso asa yis'ana Yaakov yilash takbo efer yis'pale ad she'i labanim shlo Thomas Pitzara. She thought that by expressing herself in such an exaggerated way, what she was really trying to convey to Yaakov Avinu is, I'm in real distress. So I don't want you to just daven like, okay, you'll go to the shacharis in the morning, and you'll say a shira malos at the end of daven. I don't want you to do that. I want you to fast. I want you to put on sackcloth. I want you to go all out in davening for me. And the way she expresses that, again, you know, every couple has their language, right? So, you know, the language of Rachel Imenu was, you know, if you're not going to daven for me, I'm going to kill myself, by which she really means, I don't want you to just daven, I want you to daven for real. Okay. But still, it was a little over the top. So, Vayicharaf Yaakov. So what's Yaakov's response? He gets upset. Not that you asked me to daven. That's totally appropriate. But she'ain tfilas ha-tzadika bi'adam she'tishama v'ta'ana al-koponim. You're asking me to daven to the point, you know, where do whatever you can till it gets answered. My dear wife Rachel, that's not how it works. There's no guarantee that I'm going to get answered, right? I'll daven as best as I can, but your expression that, you know, if it doesn't come through, you're going to kill yourself, that's just over the top. And that's Yaakov Avinu's response, Hasachas Elokim Anochi. I can daven, but I'm not God that I can guarantee that the tefillah is going to be accepted. That's really... What's that? So I think you have to understand, according to, you know, this interpretation of the Ramban, of course Yaakov Avinu was davening, but Rachel Imenu wanted him to, you know, go the extra mile in terms of the tefillah. And you know, basically she was expressing to him, you're not davening hard enough, because if you were really davening hard enough, I'd have kids. And to that, Yaakov... Okay, you know, so to that, Yaakov Avinu's response is, you can't say things like that, you know? In other words, for you to say, I'm not davening hard enough because otherwise I would have kids already, is just exaggerated. You know, that, I'm not God, you know? And now we can begin to understand the conversation in a way that's a little bit more understandable. So, I think we have to assume that that Avram did. I mean, it's hard to imagine that in all these cases that they didn't daven for their wives. It's hard to imagine.
Yeah, but is it possible that if Yaakov Avinu saw that Leah was giving birth to little Shvatim, that he saw that there was something that was going on, you know, that in terms of Yad Hashem, that was more complicated, and he felt that he couldn't, he could daven in, but he can't really mix it. So yeah, he could daven in, he's supposed to, and he got to do the best he can, but there was something going on that was beyond his...
Right, it's possible. Right, it's possible.
The Kaya could change that.
Right, no, it's possible, it's possible. So Al-Kapara, the Rabban, is giving us a little bit more, you know, understanding into Yaakov's response. He's not refusing to daven. He's just, you know, refusing to guarantee that his tefillos are necessarily going to work.
Did he know that
what's that?
Yeah.
So the Midrashim understand, yeah, you know, that he had this nevuah. What's that? Right. So did Rachel daven? So now says the Ramban as follows: Vineyat tzadekes bir'osos lo tuchal lihisamechal el tefilas Yaakov. When Rachel saw that she couldn't just rely on Yaakov's tefilos alone, shavro lispalel al atzma. So she davened for herself el shomeyat tzeaka to Hashem, who listens to all cries. Bezel vayishmai le elokim. Later on in Pasuk Chaf Beis, right before the birth of Yosef, it says, "Vayizkar Elokim es Rachel, vayishma Eleha Elokim." God listened to Rachel. What did he listen to? He listened to the Tefilos. So in other words, Yaakov may have, again, according to the Ramban, doesn't quite say this, but right, Yaakov's intention might have even been by pushing back as hard as he did to get Rachel to daven for herself. And in doing so, Rachel's tefillos were ultimately accepted. Now you'll ask me, so why didn't Rachel daven for herself to begin with? So Rachel may have felt that Yaakov Avinu's tefillos would be more accepted. I mean, after all, Rashi tells us, back in Parshas Toldos, that when Yitzchak and Rivka davened, it was Yitzchak who was listened to, not Rivka. Right? So maybe Rachel figured as well that, you know, Yaakov has the better shot at this, and I want you to daven. Maybe it doesn't exclude her davening, but, you know, when Yaakov said, look, I can't guarantee anything, that pushed Rachel to ratchet up the quality of her tefillos to an even greater extent. And ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does listen to Rachel.
But wasn't the rationale that applied to Yitzchak and Rivka, wouldn't that same rationale apply to Yaakov and Rachel, i.e. the child?
Meaning, why does Hashem ultimately listen to Rachel?
Or why did he listen to Rivka? Shouldn't Rivka and Rachel be...
Right, comparable to one another, right? 100%. It's Sadik Ben Rasha. So I don't know. I don't know what, you know, what the Ramban would do with that, because here it does seem like Rachel ultimately is listened to. You know, maybe we can suggest that just, you know, when a person davens out of an incredible sense of hopelessness, you know, which Rachel seems to have davened out of, maybe that just breaks through everything. I don't know. You know, but that's the Ramban says, in the end of the day, it was Rachel's tefillos that brought her a child, you know, not necessarily the tefillos of Yaakov Avinu. So that's, again, this whole back and forth in the Ramban is giving us greater insight on a psychological level into what, you know, their conversation is, and it helps us take the conversation and make it one that is more appropriate, you know, for people of the stature of the Avos and the Imos. You know, they're not just saying, oh, it's your fault, oh, it's your fault, oh, it's your fault, you know, but rather, you know, what can we do to daven in the best possible way in order to bring about the best possible results.
I heard somebody say that Akana, her husband said, why are you so upset? I'm better to you than
10 children, right?
And when she heard that, she understood that it's okay with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's when she was follow, and Hashem, by the way, listened to her figure.
Right, I mean.
Until then, she seemed like she was relying on her husband.
Right,
and she understood she can't rely on him.
Right. So it may be analogous in that regard. Yeah.
My husband might explain the cost, the anger. It's such a terrible thing, and my anger.
Well, Vayichar Af can mean a lot of things. Vayichar Af can mean he was distressed, right? Vayichar Af Yaakov Berochel, he got upset, you know. Again, it doesn't say Vayichos, he got upset at her, you know, because she was demanding the impossible. To say that you know, you must daven and produce children. Okay, I'm not necessarily capable of doing all of that. Okay, we'll pick up next week. Bez Hashem, wish everyone a good Shabbos. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.